Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Hidden Disabilities series on Braincast. In this series, we aim to talk to people with hidden disabilities, discussing their experiences with the healthcare system and the education system, and what they think is needed from society to support them. My name is Emily, and we are joined by co-host Riddhi and guest Zoe to discuss complex regional pain syndrome during this CRPS Awareness Month. CRPS is a poorly understood condition that can cause allodynia and hyperalgesia. That's why we've invited Zoe to tell us her experience with CRPS today. As always, we'll put links to any websites mentioned throughout this episode in the bio. So, hi Zoe, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. It's very early this morning. I won't usually be awake at this time, or well, I might be awake, but I wouldn't be cognizant at this moment.
Usually. That's fair. That's valid.
Yeah, so you're a university student at the
Yes.
University of Sussex, and are you in your first year or?
Yes, first year. Yeah, just
How's
moved
it
in.
going so far?
It's a bit crazy, I'm not gonna lie. Everything is kind of, yeah, I'm thrown into it. Let's just call it like that.
Yes, that is very much how I felt in my first year as well. Yeah. So let's start with some questions on just what is CRPS.
Okay, so CRPS stands for Complex Regional Pain Syndrome. So it's a chronic pain condition. So that means that patients suffer from pain every single day. It's important to know that there are two types of CRPS. So I was diagnosed with type 1. When you have type 2, you have nerve lesion within the CRPS. That means that your nerves are physically, something is wrong with them. When you've got type 1, all of your nerves physiologically, they work fine. It's just a misinformation coming from within your nervous system shooting to your brain. So what happens with CRPS? So most people, they have CRPS after a traumatic experience on the affected limb. Usually it will be after surgery or after, for example, you broke your ankle, let's just say. So what happens is after, when you've got an injury, you've got, so your pain receptors, they send up information of pain to your brain, so you know that something is wrong within that area. Once the limb, for example, is getting better, after a certain time the pain receptors will reset themselves, so they stop sending the pain information to your brain. With people with CRPS, that resetting process never happens, so the body, the nervous system, keeps shooting pain signals to your brain when there's nothing wrong with the limb. When that happens after surgery, it's, for example, it's like surgeon did everything they could, but you still get that pain signal and that never resetted. So it's important to know that CRPS affects primarily extremities, but it's not always the case. For example, I have chronic pain in 80% of my body. So it started on my right shin and then evolved to go to my whole leg, my left leg, my arms, and then the right side of my head, with like shooting sharp pains in my head. And then I like to say this because people don't realize how painful COPS really is. I always say that pain is very subjective, so everybody experiences pain in a different way. However, there is a, so it's called the McGill Pain Questionnaire. So it's a scale that rates pain syndromes, like, yeah, different types of pains that you can experience in life. CRPS has a score of 42 out of 50, and it's ranked higher than planned and unplanned childbirth and finger amputation. So it's like, to make people realize, especially doctors and like medical personnel, that it's not in your head, you're really in a lot of pain. And yeah, you've got this scale that really helps understand it a bit better.
That's a really good answer. Thank you. That gives a lot of information. So one thing I wanted to just clarify just for whoever is listening is that for something to be considered chronic pain, we have like two different, in the medical world, I guess, definitions for acute and chronic pain. So anything that is acute is typically, you know, from the onset to roughly 3 months. And a doctor would generally consider anything to be chronic pain when it's persisting for 6 months or more. So if you don't mind me asking, how long have you had CRPS? Not how long have you been diagnosed, because I presume it took a while to get diagnosed with it.
So coming into December will be 5 years of having CRPS. It started, so I have the precise date in my mind, which is crazy. So it was on the 30th of December of the year 2020. So it'll be 5 years.
Okay, so that's a long time. And how old were you when you were when you, like, what's the word? Is it got it, triggered it? How would
Yeah, I just say like got it, which is kind of weird because it's not like an infectious disease that you have, like you catch it, it's just it happens within your body. But I like to say I caught it, I'm guessing. So I was 14 when it happened, but I was turning 15 in just like 10 days or something. So I was 15 at the time that everything happened.
It's a common misconception that CRPS is just feeling pain. Are there any other symptoms alongside that pain that you experience on a regular basis?
Yeah, there are kind of regular symptoms. So obviously, like, the main one is the pain, but it's very different than just saying, oh, I'm in pain, because there is different types of pain that you can actually get. So I like to call it, there's the chronic background pain. So it's a feeling that you know something is wrong because it's not normal, but it's in the background of your mind. So it kind of like, it's not an onset, oh my God, I'm in pain right now. It's just, I know that something is wrong with like that limb right now or my body because I am in pain. And after that, there's different types of pain. So for example, the pain that I will get will be like the sharp pain that will come all of a sudden like that. So I can get like electric pain. So it's like, it's as if I'm being zapped in the limb and there's like the electric current that's just coming through my limb at the time. I also say that I have hammer pain. So it's literally like if somebody's taking a hammer and just banging it on my shins, that will be the pain that I'm experiencing. So other than the pain that you get, you also get a lot of muscle weakness and muscle spasm. So you're not, again, it's something that you know your body is wrong because you don't have the strength. And that will vary across the days as well. There are some days that I feel fine, and then there are days that I'm getting up from bed, I'm like, oh my God, I don't have any strength in my legs right now to support myself. Other symptoms are like cold extremities due to very poor blood circulation. So I get my feet and my hands are mostly frozen, but I kind of don't feel they're cold because I've lost sensation in these parts of my like extremities. And then you also have different skin color and dry skin a lot. So it's not unusual for example, your limbs in the shower to change color. So they become blue and red. It's not unusual for, skin color that will change randomly. I know that when I first got CRPS, I was going to say a couple months into it, I all of a sudden had green skin rashes on my toes, which
that's really odd. That's a really odd color to come up.
So where did it was really, really random. So because they were green, like they were green, and then like on the outside it was a bit red, and then that was it, and they were really itchy, and all the doctors were looking at it, it was like, what is that? And then they just got away and then never came back. But it's like kind of this, your skin does whatever it wants basically. So yeah, I'd say that's the regular symptoms on a regular basis that you get to experience.
Yeah, so I mentioned in the introduction to this that you can experience with CRPS hyperalgesia and allodynia. So do you know what those are, or would you like me to define them for you?
Yeah, if you could define them, that'd be great.
So allodynia is when something that is normally not painful causes pain. So maybe just like the light touch on skin, whereas hyperalgesia is an exaggerated pain response to something that is supposed to be painful. Like, I don't know, trying to think what it could be, like pressure or a pinprick or something. So considering those, do you experience both of those on a regular basis or just in a flare up, like the allodynia and the hyperalgesia?
I say not on a regular basis, more when I'm coming into a flare-up. So it's very, What's very weird about CRPS is, compared to, for example, other conditions I have as POTS, when I'm in a POTS flare-up, it's like all of a sudden I'm in the flare-up. With CRPS, it kind of builds up. So I will be able to tell, now that it's been 5 years, I will be able to tell a couple days before, I can feel it coming, like my body is sending me slight signals. And when I'm in this build-up of a flare-up, and then the flare-up happens, and then it kind of builds off, this is when I'll experience what you just said. So, for example, I can rarely go out because the wind will hurt, because it will feel on my skin as if somebody's banging me with a hammer. And then at some point, it's like things that will just, like, for example, if I just, oh, I just banged my limb on the wall because I wasn't careful, that will hurt 10 times more than it's supposed to do. However, on a regular basis, I don't usually get that. It will be more like if I'm having a bad day or if I'm building up into a flare-up, then I'll definitely experience those. Because I would love to have a handbook knowing, oh, yes, this is going to trigger this much pain. So I would like evaluate if that thing is worth it to have the pain after. But I just kind of don't.
So you spoke about POTS. So for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, that stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And in a conversation you and I had, Zoe, I think it must have been over WhatsApp or a call or something, we were speaking about how one of the ways you can manage POTS specifically is by wearing compression socks. And you mentioned that compression socks for you are more tricky because of the pain that is kind of associated with in your shins. So how are you able to manage your like multiple conditions at once, and do they kind of interfere with each other, like the treatment for one makes something else worse?
Yeah, they definitely do. For example, the simple fact that I can't wear compression socks, at least I haven't found one that will not hurt my legs. I've only worn them like once for a whole day to test them out, and I was in so much pain after this that I was like, never again. So it's tricky because you have to basically manage which condition is worse at the time, and then is it worth suffering from the other? So for example, I know that I don't have that because I'm not on any medication for my CRPS, but I know that there's cross medication that you can't take. For example, if you've got POTS and CRPS, depending on what dosage and medication you are, so you have to be careful with that.
Yeah, definitely. So you said I guess your CRPS manifested when you were around 14, turning 15, 14, 15. So do you think, well, the thing with CRPS is that obviously it's incredibly hard to pinpoint what might have been the trigger for it, but do you have any ideas about what you think might have led to your CRPS?
Yeah, so we still don't know to this day. So what happened was when I was 13, 12 or 13, I had a problem on my knee with itch. It's a growth condition called, so it's German, so I don't know how to pronounce this in English. It's called Osgutschlitter. No idea if this is the right pronunciation. I'm very sorry if it's not. So it's a growth condition that you get on the knee, whereas it's a bit of your bone that basically separates from your knee because you're growing, like your muscles and your bones are not at the same level of growing, so it kind of like explodes. So I got that when I was younger, and then I kind of healed from it like several months later. We don't know to this day if my CRPS kind of like migrated to my shins from that condition, or if it's just a whole other thing that we don't know about. What happened was, so the onset trigger of like having CRPS, when I got back to, so we have 3 years of college in France, so I was entering my first year, and that was just after COVID lockdown, so I was going back to school for the first time. I kind of figured out, I kind of knew that it was getting harder to walk and doing sports and everything because I was having pain, but it wasn't that much. What really happened was, so on the 30th of December of the year 2020, what happened was I went to a dance, so I do ballet. I went to a dance rehearsal, and the choreography was kind of not working as it should, and I got really bothered by it. And I kind of, because I was in so much pain because I only danced once and that was enough to set off my pain, I was emotionally not good because I was all over the place because I was frustrated, I was angry, I was sad about everything. It kind of exploded from that point. So I, this was really the onset. That's why I say the 30th of December, because it was on that day that basically everything shifted and nothing was as it was before. So I think that it was the build-up emotion that kind of like made my body, my whole body explode and say, what is going on? And then I had to sit down and I was in so much pain. I was crying, I was screaming. So that was the day that it really, everything shifted for me. But it's incredibly hard, and to be honest, I'll never know if it's from residue from this new growth thingy, if it's just because it was too much, if it's just because my body was fragile and it was coming in from different, or if it just happened like that. Basically, it's impossible to pinpoint because I can't go back in time to go into scans to know what's going on with my body. So I just say that it happened on this day, and I kind of like, I've accepted it now that it's just, it happened on this day. So I even call it the CRPS birthday. So I kind of celebrate it on my own, in my own way, accepting it every single year. And yeah, I'd say it's that.
You know, that's really funny you mentioned that, because for me with my condition, I remember mine was May 21st or something like that. And I also celebrate kind of, it's weird to say celebrate, but I celebrate its birthday on that day. I'm like, oh, it's been 5 years with this now. And it's like, it's just a weird thing that we make it like a person that we're celebrating when it's caused so many issues, but it's also, you know, part of you. So you want to celebrate that.
Yeah, I remember on the first year that I had CRPS, so it had been a year, I wrote myself a letter talking to my CRPS as if it was a person, just saying basically what was on my mind. And like, I remember that vividly, like letter saying that you will not ruin my life, I will manage this and everything. So kind of like every year, because it's also so close to the new year, so I can't really forget the date, I kind of like take a moment on the inside just to say, oh, okay, it's been now, it will be now 5 years. And it's also good because you can see how much you've evolved with it and from it as well, because that first birthday is nothing like the fifth birthday, because now I know the condition so well and I know my body so well. So it's a whole process.
Yeah, obviously, this is going to sound like a really weird question, because obviously from the age of like 14, 15 to 19, 20, you will definitely have changed as a person. But do you think the fact that you have CRPS and it started at the age of 14, do you think that has maybe changed the direction that you might have gone in as a person? Has it like shaped
Oh,
you?
yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I always say that this was the major shift in my life, that nothing was ever the same again, in a positive and negative way, both at the same time, because obviously negative, because nobody wants to experience this with their life, but also on the positive side, because I would not be the person I am, I would have not met the people that I've met today, or understand what the disability world is, the chronic illness world is, if I didn't have CRPS, if I didn't have POTS and everything. So it changed my life, and I did not have a typical teenagehood. It's changed the person. I think it made me stronger. I always say that I think I became an adult on that day, because I couldn't just be a teenager anymore. I had to grow up really fast, because if I was going to live with this, I needed to grow up and understand what was going on. So it changed my life very much.
Yeah, I think anyone who goes through some sort of change with their body, whether that's, you know, down to chronic illness or disability or something else, everyone changes for better and for worse. There's always positives and negatives for everything.
Definitely.
So looking back on it in retrospect, do you think that date, December 30th, I think you said, that was the first day you ever exhibited symptoms, or was there, maybe looking back on it, it kind of maybe started a bit earlier than that, but it only obviously came to a head on
Yeah,
that.
I think it started a bit earlier than that. I think because I remember vividly complaining that I was in pain to my mum, for example. I remember this when I was in when I was in the college, we used to do our sports session on the stadium. That was like a 30-minute walk, which is in itself very stupid, but whatever. So we had to go to the stadium and then we had to come back and then we had classes after that. So we had to rush because the teacher would only let us go 10 minutes before, which is ridiculous. I remember that I was always late to my next class because I couldn't walk. I couldn't run. I couldn't do anything. So I think it kind of built up during these months as well. But on that day, everything exploded in itself. And I think because my body was also so tired of being in pain all the time with no explanation whatsoever, it kind of like, yeah, shifted.
I was sort of going more into like the process of getting a diagnosis for CRPS. Like, obviously, CRPS is quite a hard condition to get diagnosis for. So, like, I wanted to ask, like, how long did it take for you to get the right diagnosis? Because it's very easy to get misdiagnosed in case of CRPS.
Yeah, so I'll take you through my diagnosis process and like everything that happened to me. So just while I want to preface this, I was extremely lucky that I got a diagnosis quite quickly, which I know is definitely not the case for 90% of people who have CRPS. I just had a doctor that knew what it was and knew how to diagnose me. And also because I did all the tests necessary to have the diagnosis. So what happened was on the 30th of December, so we knew that something was wrong. So my parents and I made a decision to go to the doctors, the GP, the equivalent of the GP in France, to go through everything. So what I did was I did some blood tests. I did some x-rays and ultrasounds. I did a knee MRI and I did a shin MRI. So the blood test, x-ray, ultrasound, and the knee MRI were all normal. Nothing was abnormal with this. I would like to say that this is not satisfying when you don't have, when you have test results that say, oh, nothing's wrong, but you're clearly in so much pain or you know that something is wrong, which is very common in the chronic illness community that you wish something was wrong and would appear on the test. You like, you really wish for it. So when nothing happened, when nothing came up, I was like, I don't know what to do. However, on the shin MRI that I did, we found some calcification on my shins, and that led to tell doctors that something is wrong because you've got calcification on your shins. I ended up seeing, so about a month into this, I ended up seeing an orthopedic surgeon that looked at my test results. So with the different tests that I did prior to coming to him, for example, the blood test, because my blood test was normal, we could rule out leukemia, which was a possibility. Like we could rule out, I don't know, for example, a growth problem, we could rule out fractures and stuff like that with the x-rays, the ultrasounds and everything. However, the MRI and the calcification on the MRI kind of gave us a diagnosis for my CRPS. So he was the one to say, right, you've got CRPS. However, the thing is, you get the CRPS diagnosis. It's not a life changer in itself because nobody knows what it is. Even the doctor, from what I remember, did not tell me a lot about CRPS. He just basically told me, you've got CRPS and that's it. Have a nice life. So it's a bit difficult to go through this because I know that many people will get, either they seek the diagnosis, and once they get the diagnosis, you have to find the right person to, so they can understand what is going on, because mostly doctors will have no idea what it is. So once I got the CRPS diagnosis, now what was the aim of it was giving me pain relief, because I was in so much pain. So I was not walking at the time. I was in a wheelchair when I was at school, and I was using crutches when I was on myself or at home and everything. So different ways to ease the pain was heavy medication. So I was on a cocktail of medication that consisted of paracetamol, naproxen, and gabapentin. I ended up at some point having 15 pills a day, which was a lot. And we stopped that very quickly because it was not working. It was not easing the pain. I was extremely nauseous. I was, yeah, that was not working at all from my body. I was not eating anymore. It was not a good experience. So what happened after that is we decided to try lidocaine patches. So what the lidocaine patches is, it's basically lidocaine that comes into like sort of a rectangle, and then you put that on your pain area and numbs it up for 12 hours. That did not work for me. I felt absolutely nothing about the lidocaine patches. So I was like, right, I'll just put them and try them. Didn't work. We stopped that. The last attempt that we had was something that was called, in French, it's called a TENS machine. So TENS. A TENS machine is basically an electrical machine. I know it's used a lot for patients who have endometriosis as well, because what happens is it sends an electrical impulse.
So to understand how the TENS machine actually works, we just quickly have to talk about something called the gate control theory of pain.
That's the thing I had.
Yes, so the gate control theory of pain, for anybody listening, is basically the idea that when a gate is open, the pain can basically travel through because the gate is open, whereas by closing the gate, it means that the pain physically can't travel. So I will put the link in for a website that explains more about it, but how the TENS machine works is that it interferes with this gate control theory. So it stimulates the non-pain carrying nerves, and this is going to inhibit the pain signal from continuing. The other, apparently that's when the TENS machine is set to a specific frequency, so 90 to 130 hertz. If it's set to a low hertz, apparently it can just release endogenous endorphins into the body, and that's going to block the pain signals itself.
So we did that a lot on my shins, because it was my right shin at the time. We did that a lot to see if they would help. It did not help much. Not even at all. I was like putting on the machine and it did not help. So we kind of gave up. So at this point I was having no pain relief whatsoever. I got referred to a pain clinic in Paris, to explore other options. So I met with a pain specialist doctor to understand what was going on. At some point, now that we had tried everything and she made the clinical exam and everything, we decided to consult, well, they decided for me to consult a pain psychologist. So it's a psychologist that will specify, like will specialize in patients who have pain, usually kids. So I got to see her, talk with her, whatever. And then it was kind of like, this is where I think it went a little bit downhill on the whole pain processes, now that we kind of put the psychological aspect into it, which has, CRPS has a psychological aspect of it because it influences, it's like back and forth. However, when you introduce this into a patient's life, everything will become psychological. So it's like now people will tell you, oh, well, if it's psychological, it's all in your head, which is not true, which is very, yeah, it's not good. So when we introduced that psychological thing, the woman itself was lovely, and she actually referred me to we've got a clinic in France, which is a whole network of clinics across the country. It's basically clinics where it will be students, so only minors, who will go into specific departments, and they will get the medical attention that they need while continuing school. So that's when she referred me to that clinic, saying that it could be good for me to go there and try to, you know, learn how to walk again and then everything. So this was all back. So the whole process of consulting the doctors at the pain clinic was in from January to like June-ish or something. I got into the clinic. I entered the clinic on November 18th, 18th of November. So it was 11 months into my CRPS journey, I got into the clinic. I was in a department that's like it has, so it was a physical department, so it would like teach you how to walk again and everything, but having that psychological aspect of it. So it was a unit with chronic pain, and so half of, not half, but like we had patients, only girls with chronic pain, and then on the other half of the unit we had a trigger warning for everybody, kids who attempted suicide. So we were like mixed in a clinic, in the unit all together. We were like 18 kids at the most, something like that, and then so we all kind of went on our journeys to learn how to walk again, and then cure, not cure, but like help us psychologically to gain back confidence and maybe make links with what happens in the past, the traumas and everything. So yeah, so I stayed in that clinic for 9 months. So I left in July, 8th of July of the next year, so 2021, no, 2022. And I was walking again when I left the clinic. I was walking after 5 months within the rehab center. It was like 5 hours of physio per week, a lot of adaptive sports, school that continued a little bit for me as well, and then therapy and everything. So after that, I basically, so that was like the whole, I was walking again. So that was like, for people, it was like, okay, she's walking again, our job is done. And then when I exited the clinic, I basically had to go on this self-acceptance journey of accepting the condition and learning how to live with it. So I say this is like my whole journey with CRPS, from the moment of like not walking anymore to walking anymore. It took about, so what is it? It's like, it took about a year and a half of very being deep into the CRPS, and then things kind of got easier with time and learning how to live with it. So yes, this is my diagnosis process, I'm guessing.
I mean, I just wanted to ask, like, obviously you mentioned that CRPS has a psychological aspect to it, and you touched upon it a bit, but like, how exactly did the introduction of the pain psychologist in your treatment journey like sort of change the situation? Because you mentioned that things did go a little downhill, so how exactly did it change the experience?
So I think for me to accept that my CRPS journey has a psychological aspect, it took years. I'm still accepting it every single day, and I think I'll have to navigate it for the rest of my life. However, when you are 15, you've never had anything before. I've had like problems before, but like not this kind of problems. When you basically introduce that, people start linking your pain condition to psychological aspects of it, or like maybe traumas that happened or whatever. As a kid, you start panicking, because that basically means that in your head, people will start saying, it's not true, you're not in pain, it's all in your head and everything. It's important to preface that when you're 15, it's hard, because you're like, you're a kid, you didn't have a life, you're like, so it's extremely hard. And it kind of like, that's when I, as a kid, when I reflect on it now, it didn't go downhill, but when I was a kid, it felt like everything was tumbling down, because basically my world had just shifted, and now I was like seeing psychologists about it. And basically, yeah, it can be related to past trauma or how you are as a person, whatever. So I think it's really hard. However, so to people understanding, like people listening, we have what is called a somatic, I think this is the word in English, somatic effect. So basically, to whoever doesn't know what this is, something being somatic is basically, it's a psychological problem that is indicated by a physical response, a physiological response. That means that, for example, I will take the example, like, you've had a trauma happened to you. It was so something in your brain happened very much traumatic, and your body's way of expressing that trauma is to send you or to change your body however it manages. So for example, for CRPS, it could be sending pain signals. That's what happens basically to me. So we were looking at a somatic effect of psychological problems that were now manifesting through a physical aspect of it.
One thing I did want to point out, because I did just search it up to clarify, is I think the term you're looking for is psychosomatic, because somatic means distinct from the mind. So psychosomatic means the mind is causing things to happen to the body. So I just wanted to clarify that for anyone listening.
I think CRPS is more complex than just saying that it's a somatic effect. I think both are at stake because, for example, I know that if I'm in an exam period where I'm very stressed about stuff or I'm very tired or it takes me a lot of brain energy, I will have pain, more pain than usual. So obviously you have a psychological aspect, because now we're understanding more and more with medical advances and like psychological therapies and everything, that your mind and body are constantly linked. So we understand that everything that happens in your head happens in your body, and everything that happens in your body happens in your head. We're not looking at two separate things anymore. They're combined, and it's important to know that. But, however, it is important for patients who have, for example, a CRPS diagnosis, that it's equally important to treat the psychological aspect to the physical aspect and not deny usually the physical aspect because there's a psychological aspect. And I feel like this happens to a lot of people, that doctors will say, oh, yeah, it's somatic or whatever. Even if it's somatic, it's here. It's like you're in pain. And you can't do anything about it because you can't fix your brain. You can't just rewire your brain and everything. I mean, I know there's therapies about this, but like, you can't just change your brain or your way of thinking or your whole personality. So I think the challenge now is accepting that mind and body work the same way, and you can't deny and you can't like give more importance to a part without giving that importance to the other. But putting it all into perspective, it's hard to explain that to a kid who's 15, who's got her entire life changed. Or even like an adult that has had surgery and now has CRPS. I don't know if that adult is 40 years old and they never had a health problem. It's still life changing, whatever age you are. So it's important to, I kind of like went away from the question, but it's like this whole mind and body stuff, somatic, psychological, physical aspect that you kind of have to work into together and explain maybe better to people, because it's more complex than just saying it's in your head.
Oh, I could totally agree with the point you're making, because I know when I was first diagnosed with my conditions, that when someone said, oh, it has a psychological aspect, my first thought, just as an ignorant and naive person myself, was, oh my gosh, they think I'm making it up. But it takes years to understand that actually, no, that's not exactly what they're saying. But because the general public isn't aware of all of these kind of nuances around chronic illness, they won't understand that. So it is a valid worry to have, that other people are going to think you're making it up, or it's all in your head, or you're being lazy.
I was just about to say, because you mentioned like an adult who's diagnosed with CRPS, their life still changes quite a lot. I want to talk about my mom, who got like diagnosed with CRPS like last year, after 10 to 12 years of continuous misdiagnosis, because so the doctor mainly last year said that it would have resulted from a surgery that she had when I was really young, caused slight nerve damage, which obviously like resulted in a misinterpretation of the pain responses. But like, growing up, it kind of just became like a matter of fact for us, that like, for me, that like, my mom had pain in her hand, we had no idea what it was, because every time we went to a doctor, they're like, okay, it might be tendonitis or it might be carpal tunnel. We don't know. We tried all therapies, we tried everything, none of it worked. And my mom would ask me, like, my hat continuously, like, there would be days where her hand would like hurt a lot and days where her hand wouldn't hurt as much. And her handwriting, like, obviously continued to get progressively worse. She's someone who does like a lot of office work and stuff like that, so it came hard. And I think recently, when the pain started like migrating to her shoulder and into the other hand, that's when it became a lot more serious. We had someone suggest that she might have Parkinson, which is a wild take, because it was because of her handwriting getting progressively worse.
That's so random. Was that based on actual clinical kind of evaluation, or was that just?
I don't know. The doctor was an orthopedic surgeon, and he's like, well, your handwriting seems to be getting worse. You seem to lose control of your hand. So, like, maybe you might have Parkinson's or some kind of like motor neuron degeneration. Yeah, she recently got we recently got diagnosed with we got the diagnosis like last year, and it explained a lot of what she experienced, because it wasn't, a lot of people assumed that there was something wrong with her muscles, and her muscles were it was more of a muscular pain. So yeah, it did, there was a lot of change. I don't know what tangent I'm going off into, but yeah, you mentioned that obviously there's a change in terms of like how, even for an adult going in getting diagnosed with CRPS, there's a bit of change in terms of like their experience and how their life was before and after. And yeah, I sort of just wanted to mention that story.
Yeah, I
Apologies
mean,
if that was a weird tangent.
no, I think it's, I mean, for me, it's incredibly relevant, because the thing you have to think about with chronic illnesses and disabilities is that everyone's experience is going to be different. Obviously,
Yeah.
intersectionality is a very big kind of conversation, and it's incredibly relevant when you're talking about disabilities and chronic illnesses, because Zoe's experience with CRPS and POTS is going to be wildly different to, let's say, my experience with POTS and your mum's experience with CRPS. And it's important that whilst we're spreading awareness through Zoe's perspective of CRPS, there are so many other perspectives of it. Some people might have found no positives to having CRPS, where Zoe has found some positives. And that actually leads me on to a question that I wanted to ask, which is, the more you get involved in the disabled community, the more you understand generally about those kind of aspects of disability, which is that, it's different for every single person, even though they've got maybe got exactly the same conditions. So prior to your diagnosis, and I guess interactions with the chronic illness community and the disability community, how knowledgeable were you about chronic pain and different chronic illnesses?
Before having a CRPS diagnosis, I didn't know that world at all. Not at all. Like, I knew. So my parents had worked or continue working into the disabled world. So more or less, they're not working directly with disabled patients, but they work in, like, for example, offices. Like, they work in the office of some certain companies or charities that will help disabled person and everything. So they're kind of in this world. They've changed now, but whatever. So I was like, kind of, I was always, I knew what the disabled world was. However, I had no idea about the chronic illness, the disability world before I got CRPS. But I'm gonna say, even after I got my CRPS diagnosis, it wasn't until I got to that clinic, the hospital, where I met people who have the same diagnosis as me, who have the same chronic pain conditions, who are being treated not well, not being treated well, that I kind of knew what the chronic illness community was, because I was never, when I was in school and everything with the COPS diagnosis, like, yeah, I'm basically the only one here. having that kind of pain, or because it was so invisible to anybody else who was struggling with it, I couldn't see it. Meeting these friends and these girls that opened up my mind as well a lot. I was like, right, I'm not the only one with this. Other people have it. There's a whole community out there, and I want to get involved. I want to have a voice. I want people to hear my story, hear my take on this. And however, the thing is, that was quite difficult, was after that hospital stay, that clinic stay in July, we decided that I was going to be homeschooled because it was just going to be easier. I was homeschooled for the last 2 years of college that I had, and then I went on the gap year to kind of, get away from the school world a little bit. So I would say I haven't met this many chronic illness people and disabled people until I got to uni, where it's like a whole community of people who have been here before me, people that will come in next year as first years. And it's good. It's good to meet people as well who are like me, who sometimes have the same conditions, who struggle every single day to just get out of bed. But it's a whole journey, because it took me 5 years to meet people who will understand me. But it's nice. It's really, because I feel like we bond so much more than any other person, because you understand what it is. You don't even have to say what's wrong. They just get it, and that's it, and that's sufficient. They just get it, and that's the end of it. I think I missed that when I was a kid, when I was 15 and didn't have anybody that could understand this. So I felt alone. And I mean, obviously I had my parents, I had my family, I had teachers, I had friends, but they didn't understand what it was to be living with it. They could understand only what they could understand was watching me live with it. And I really, really wish I had just a friend, or I had a community that could have helped me gone through this. People who understood what I was going through, and they could help me navigate. So I think it's really important to try and find that community, because it can only help. Or it's just, even if it doesn't help, you can just sit down and vent for 3 hours to them, and they will get it, and they will never complain for you venting for 3 hours about how you hate your life at the moment because nothing is going right, and that's it. So I wish I did know that community when I was 15.
That's a really good answer. It reminded me, like, I haven't thought about this in years, right? But when I was first, so I was first diagnosed with my first kind of condition when I was like 17. So I think it would have been roughly the same time, because I'm a couple years older than you.
Yeah.
But I was first diagnosed when I was 17. And I think immediately surrounding that time period, I grew closer with, well, one of my best friends is a type 1 diabetic. So I was kind of aware of certain chronic illnesses, but not incredibly aware of them. But I definitely felt an even stronger connection with her, just immediately based on the idea that I was now going through something where I was struggling, and she had also, when she was first diagnosed, gone through that. But it's so true that, like, just having somebody there who will understand is so helpful.